Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, Nikki here. I am going to have a short episode this week, and I'm going to take about maybe a week or two off from recording. We will definitely be back either the end of June or 1st of July. I just need a little break, maybe take a little vacation, a little trip, and try to get on a better schedule to get Britt and Gray and Alicia recording with me so that you guys are not just listening to me and my thoughts. Although I do appreciate you coming and listening to me and my thoughts. Before we get started though on this episode, I do want to remind you guys to please sign up for the newsletter so that you can be the first to know about things that we have going on, happenings, all that good stuff. If you would like to work with us, but you're not local, we are available for virtual, and we can do a whole lot with virtual. And we have our on-demand courses that are really cheap and easy for you. You could do a prepared puppy course for as simple as $85 on demand with good videos, and Gray does a phenomenal job with that. It's even a really good one to purchase for family members that are maybe getting a dog, getting a puppy, and getting them this prior to getting the puppy, because it talks about items you may need, how to set things up, starts on housebreaking and chewing, biting, and all those good things. Because we know with school out, a lot of people go on vacation and then they come home, and that's when they decide to get a new dog because they're going to be home. We will be talking about new summer puppies probably on the next episode. I may get that one out next week, but just don't be surprised if you come on one week and I don't have a new episode. Just know that'll be the week that I'm taking a break. I appreciate you guys being, just letting me do what I need to do here and being understanding of that. The other is please rate and review wherever you guys watch the show. Even if you have, some constructive criticism, feel free. Because I want to make sure I'm doing good enough for you guys and that I'm giving you what you want. And of course, if you have any ideas for topics that you would like me to cover, please shoot us an email. We would love to know what you want us to talk about. And I say us, right now it's just me, but Britt will be back. She's got a lot of travel right now. So I think we will be getting her back on the regular, hopefully starting in July. Just have to find some time to do some mass recordings. I just need one day of rain and like thunderstorms all day where we can't go anywhere and the puppy wants to sleep most of the day. Then we can just get a bunch of things recorded. I do want to talk about the puppy because I think that this is adolescent stage, okay? The adolescent stage of a dog, which can start 6-7 months and run up to 18 to 24 months. During adolescence, as we've talked about before, the brain is not fully developed. The emotional part of the brain and the decision-making part of the brain are really not, they're just not connected very well. And when you have a dog who is beginning to have some hormones and testosterone and all of those things that start flowing, the dog is going to have some feelings that they may not understand. And there are going to be times that your sweet, sweet puppy is going to turn into a little demon dog. Or your sweet angel baby is going to become a little bitch. So, as you can probably guess, we're in that stage to where Willow is feeling a lot of emotions. She is easily distracted. She is struggling with just that focus. when she is feeling happy, it is above and beyond. So we're getting, you know, some more jumping and mouthy and barking and talking and just lots of emotions. Like every emotion is just running high for her. So it's like if normal emotions run around 5 to 6, she's at like 9 or 10. And that's normal when you're dealing with dogs that are struggling with adolescence. Now, she is intact, and we're going to leave her intact as long as I possibly can, which means I'm going to deal with more emotions. We can all imagine what it's like, whether you have one or not, when you have your monthly cycle, how that just changes things. It's because of the flow of the hormones. And I truly believe that males also have these moments to where they don't know how to deal with the emotion. And a lot of times that's where you're getting anger from young boys because they don't know how to deal with that emotion. And I think for the human, for the adult, we need to understand that this is a part of what dogs go through. And during that time, we need to learn how to adjust our behavior and adjust our expectations in order to be successful in getting through those moments. Now, I'm not going to say that adolescence, the whole time of adolescence, is just hard. You're going to have moments that are a little bit easier, but don't be surprised when those hard moments do happen. Adolescent phase, this is when the majority of dogs are either rehomed, sent to the shelter, or sent off to a boarding train. Because in humans' minds, they believe that at 8, 9 months, the dog should be grown by now, shouldn't be doing any of these behaviors. He should be perfect. He should have every skill he needs for life. And that's bullshit. That's not true. Because the brain isn't even developed. That's like saying that my child graduated from elementary school and should be ready to go get a full-time job. It's kind of ridiculous that we put so much pressure on our dogs and that we expect so much when they don't have the capacity to be able to perform with the behaviors that we expect. So it's our job to ensure that we are setting them up for success, that we are helping them to deal with those emotions, and that we be patient and be supportive. So when we're getting into adolescence, some of the behaviors that you will often see, you will see an increase in probably activity. You're going to see the emotions, again, run higher, whether those are good emotions or bad emotions, right? So the good emotions, dog is going to be off the charts, maybe, you know, bouncing off the walls, grabbing everything in the house, tearing up a pillow, even though the dog never tore up a pillow as a young puppy. It's not that your dog is being bad. Your dog is just dealing with these emotions and they don't have an outlet. So we have to give an outlet. In those moments, I don't even necessarily like an outlet to be another dog. I can tell you that Isabella is not a fan of playing with Willow right now, majority of the time. I mean, there are moments that she's fine to play and her emotions are in check. But right now, Isabella's even like, you're a little much right now. I need you to bring it down a few notches and then we can talk about it. And that's okay because that's the way that she needs to handle that. And it's nothing, you know, there's no correction or anything of that. I just have to find a way to give Willow an outlet that is better for everyone in the house. Because I don't want her playing with me that way. You know, I don't want scratches and scars. So the Carl hack is one thing that we really push. And Carl is a fake dog. Melissa and Doug make these life-size dogs. And they're made with really heavy stuffing and metal rods. And they're really sturdy. Now, they can be torn up. Had a dog eat the face off of my black lab, Carl, which I call her Trigger because I use her for reactive dogs. And was able to really chew her up, but that was my fault. I was letting a client dog use it a little bit more than I probably need it, but we can sew her up. It's not a big deal. But the dog, Carl, is a really good way to mimic play with another dog, where they can get rough and tumble and they can chew harder and they can play with those emotions that they want to play with another live dog, but that live dog's like, whoop, nope, too much. So it just gives them that outlet. So anytime she's getting really rough and getting maybe even frustrated because I'm not playing the way she wants to play or whatever that case may be, I'm going to give her the Carl. And funny, because I now leave Carl out, and the Carl that we have for her is a little Jack Russell. She's had it since she was a baby. She'll still play with it. It's right now, it's really more like just a regular toy because it's not big. But she still plays with it, and she's learning that when she is feeling kind of pent up and nobody wants to play rough, she'll go and grab that and she'll play with that. So I really do appreciate that she's able to make that decision. And those times that she can't make that decision, my job is to kind of redirect her over and say, look, I know you're feeling, you know, hot and worked up and you're bouncing off the walls. Let's take that energy and let's put it into, you know, this toy. Some people want to take that energy and go run it off. Play fetch, take the dog for a long walk, like an exercise type walk, not a sniffari, but they want to basically take them and run till they decrease that energy. And the thing is that a lot of that energy that is happening isn't a physical energy that the dog is choosing to have. You're not going to fix it by creating more energy within the dog. You just need to find that outlet. That outlet might be a sniffari. Maybe it's giving the kibble inside a snuffle mat or some treats in a snuffle mat. You know, finding ways to just give your dog an opportunity to decompress a little bit through sniffing. But sometimes we just let it run its course. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? You just go run. Or one of the things that she loves to do, she loves the hose. And I can really spray when I'm like watering the yard or the plants. We'll play with it and I'll spray her and she loves it. And she'll catch it and those things. That is not a good way to necessarily bring her down from a jacked up energy level. But it is one way that I can do to help her get to that. So if I start seeing her advancing with her energy, right? Let's say her normal energy is 3, 4, 5, and I'm starting to see it at 7 and 8. I might go in and just give her a couple of quick things, not doing it long, maybe just a couple of minutes, just to try to bring it back down to 4 or 5 so that she can make better decisions in those moments. That's just what I do with her. I'm not saying you need to go do that with your dog. You need to learn your dog. You need to learn at, you know, what's the normal energy level? What is the dog's normal, you know, style of play? What's their favorite thing to do? What really gets them jacked up? What helps them settle down? Because that's what's going to help you navigate this craziness that we call adolescence. Now, besides using Carl, you know, I also will do things like adding in L-theanine, which is just a natural calming that is typically found in the mother's milk, but we just kind of add to help take the edge off a little bit, sometimes a little ashwagandha, maybe even a little valerian root if she's really jacked up. And again, this is just to support her system. It's not to knock her out. It's not to make her sleepy or drowsy. Just support. Because we can't stop her from going through this. She's going to have these emotions. She's going to have these feelings. She's going to have to figure out, you know, how to deal with these. Another thing that you're going to see a lot of times where your dog is really good at, say, sitting or coming when called or walking on a leash, and then they hit adolescence and it all goes out the window. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't really go out the window. It's still there. Your dog is just having a hard time accessing it. And that is why it's your job to ensure that a couple of things. One, you don't make things too difficult. Two, do not set your dog up to fail. Don't set them up. Don't take them out for a walk at a festival when your dog's in adolescence and showing you that they can't handle their emotions. Right now during adolescence, her world, Willow's world's a little bit smaller. We're not doing a bunch of trips out. We're not going into public a lot right now. I'm just keeping her world small because I don't want her to have to deal with too much. So think about, you know, if you want to do something with your dog, just make sure that they are in the right mindset, that they have the capability to handle it. Everything just seems out of proportion when it comes to adolescence. So for your dog going to a park where there's 20 people before adolescence, probably did great. But then after adolescence, or during adolescence, excuse me, you go to a park with 20 people and you would think there's 80 people there and 14 dogs. And that's how crazy your dog is acting towards them. Your dog's not being a bad dog. It's, again, they just don't know how to handle all this emotion that they're feeling. And they're getting older and their brain is getting more developed to understand what's happening and understand that either positive things happen or negative things happen. You know, so they're trying to deal with that as well. We don't spend a lot of time drilling training during this little phase. Yes, we will still train during adolescence, but we're not spending a ton of time teaching new skills, not just, you know, commanding old skills constantly. I'm just letting my dog's brain develop the way it needs to develop while I still reinforce behavior, acknowledge good behavior. I still ask for behavior. I still have expectations, but my expectations will lower a little bit. Let me give you an example. My expectation of when I'm making their meal, I have a little placemat I want her to sit on and wait while I make their meals. Now, if I'm feeding all three, it's taking me about 15 minutes to get all their bowls ready, which means 15 minutes of her sitting there. During adolescence, that's not going to happen. So even though prior, she would be able to sit there with no problem for several minutes and I wouldn't have to redirect her hardly at all, unless it got way too long. Then I would have to redirect her a few times, not a big deal. But because of adolescence and that emotional part is running so high, she's not able to make a decision about the emotion. So for her, it's just this reaction. And reaction around food for her is like, she is all about it. She loves it. So I have to redirect her a little bit more often, which means that I will go back to rewarding short minutes or short time at place. So maybe prior, she could sit for 3 minutes before I would even look and say, "You're being a good girl." But now during adolescence, I may look at her at 30 seconds and be like, "You're being a good girl." Just to let her know. So I'm lowering my expectations a little bit, knowing that her brain is just running crazy. This helps me not get frustrated. It helps her to not get frustrated. And it will be very easy to get back to having longer waiting periods for food and so forth. And that's just one example. I could give you, you know, plenty of others, but that's just one example of that when I'm lowering expectation. Posted a video on TikTok about her being off leash at the neighbors and in my front yard. And she did great. I mean, I didn't even hardly have to give her any commands whatsoever. However, that was a couple of weeks ago that I videoed that. Maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I would not take her out today without one because I know that she's more distracted, that she's having a hard time filing away the information she's receiving, all because of the way the brain is developing. So if I do take her out, we'll just go out on a long leash. We'll do a 30-foot and play the same game. She just won't be able to go as far away from me. So you see how I can set her up for success so that I'm not getting frustrated and she's not getting frustrated. And let's be real. you know, being a teenager, that's the time that if you're going to struggle in your relationship with your parents, it's when you're a teenager. Or if you're a parent now and you have a teenager, you know what I'm talking about. We tend to believe that teenagers have the capability of making better decisions. They don't. We still need to limit their options, right? So I would tell my niece when she would come home from school, when she was living with us, 14, 15 years old, boy, she was having some attitude, three women in the house, all typically on the same cycle. I would give her options. When you come home from school, get you a snack, decompress for 30 minutes or so, right? Do something that you want to do for 30 minutes or so. Just relax. And then pick one task that can be done in the house that's for the household. So like cleaning up the kitchen, emptying the dishwasher. That's something for the household. And then, of course, she always had to keep her room and her bathroom clean. But that was on, you know, her time. But in the afternoons, it was just pick something. And I would give her a couple of options, and she would be able to pick what it is that she wanted to do and what she felt like that day. And then we also knew when she was having a rough day, a bad day, we just didn't talk much. And that was okay. You know, simple questions here. Ask them, you know, do you need anything? Is there anything do you need to talk about anything? Not this constant, you know, why are you acting like an asshole? You know, I did not handle my adolescence very well. I was going through a whole lot. And my mother would tell you, you know, I was 14. Basically, I was just a bitch. And I was very unhappy and didn't realize how unhappy I was. But dealing with all those emotions, not to mention dealing with, you know, the feelings that I had towards this, you know, same sex, I was struggling. And we had a lot of fights. And it really messed our relationship up. I don't want to do that. Didn't want to do that with my niece. And we didn't. She's phenomenal. And our relationship is great. And I don't want to do that with my dog. I want her to know that I understand what she's going through. I will help her make better decisions by limiting options and not overwhelming her. We tend to overwhelm our dogs as they get into adolescence. And then they mess up and we think, well, they're just bad dogs, so let's send them off to a boarding train. That is the worst thing that you can do. Matter of fact, using any type of aversive techniques during adolescence is really bad, especially if you've started out using positive reinforcement. You do not need to be using aversives in that time. Your dog's brain doesn't have the capability to understand those corrections. Not to mention that most balance trainers don't do corrections correctly. So you've got to be very careful during the adolescent phase that you don't say, well, this positive reinforcement training is not working. Let's put a shock collar on them. Positive reinforcement training is working and it does work. But we still have to take in consideration of the brain development and what your dog is going through and how we're asking them to deal with a world that is not even close to being what they've been bred for. Kim Brophy says it really well. We have a bunch of dogs that are out of jobs. You know, they were bred for a certain job that we don't have available to them anymore. And we just expect them to just, you know, step it up and be a good pet. And that's just not the case. We have to be respectful about what the dog is and understand that they're dealing with the same type of development that we all dealt with as teenagers, right? If you can imagine somebody, you know, praising you and you're getting a trophy for participating in every activity, and then you graduate elementary school and you get into fifth grade and they're like, now we're going to put a shock collar on you because you should know to spell this word. You should know to spell this word in third grade. And it's just, it doesn't make sense to me that we have such high expectations of dogs before they're even fully an adult. And if your dog is not giving you what you want, you're at fault. You're at fault. You're the one with the better brain that can be teaching your dog the skills that you want. The other big emotion that we run into, and this happened yesterday, I believe, and this was a really big one. And I think this is the part that I really wanted Britt to come on and talk about. But we've had some issues in the past with Willow resource guarding her food. Now, we've talked about it. She is a guardian breed, so resource guarding is natural for her. I don't have a problem with it. What I do want to make sure is that it's being done appropriately, that it's not being taken out of context to where the dog is across the room and she's chewing on a bone and she comes off the couch to chase the dog out of the room. That's not appropriate. Well, yesterday, I let her eat instead of in her crate. I let her just eat in the kitchen after the others were done. And I just put the bowl down. And man, she went to town. This girl is so hungry. And she loves food. She just dug into it. Well, she was pushing the bowl across the floor. So I went over just to normally, like I would do, in the past, where I'll just hold the bowl or put it between my feet so it's not sliding everywhere. Whew, let me tell you, I went over just to get that. And that girl, you would think that I was taking a $800 gold bar away from her. $800 gold bar. How about an $800,000 gold bar? I mean, literally, she was just like, I will take your face off. I say that. The emotion was high. She did not put her teeth on me. She did not even snap at me. But it was very intense. And that's what I mean when I say that dogs' emotions, they're bigger during adolescence. And they're bigger because they don't know how to adjust. They don't know how to make decisions about them. So all I did was just talk to her. I just kind of got her by the in the hip area behind her. And I just gently brought her away from the bowl, not punishing her, just gently brought her away from the bowl, calmed her down for a second. I picked up the bowl, and then I let her finish with it in my hand. And the reason I did it in my hand is just so that she's not pushing it across the floor. And it was easier than it being between my feet. So in that situation, a lot of people would see that as a Rottweiler being, you know, guarding that resource and being, I mean, she was tense, the hair was up, she was just, you could tell the emotions were running so high. But because I understand development, to me, that was no different than my 14-year-old niece yelling back at me because she didn't want to do something, right? I'm not going to beat the dog. I'm not going to yell at the dog. I'm going to let her know, I understand what you're going through, because trust me, I had endometriosis and had a full hysterectomy, but trust me when I say, prior to all that, I had horrible time once a month, sometimes twice a month. These are difficult times, and it's not just for the females. Males, they're going to be more kind of stupid, where they're just going to be goofy, and they're going to have a hard time with hazard avoidance. But females, I believe, do get a little just bit more just, ooh, serious. So saying that, that's a time where a lot of people would have freaked out and wanted to put a shock collar on the dog or punish the dog or spank the dog or show the dog who's boss. She was not guarding that food to tell me that she's in charge. She was not trying to dominate me. She was basically saying, I love my food. I'm so excited to eat. Oh my God, it's so delicious. The other dogs are in the kitchen. I usually eat in my crate. Oh my God, and now what are you going to do? It's moving across the floor. I'm trying to hold it and I can't do it. It was just a lot of emotion. A lot of emotion. And I wish I'd had the video, because I want people to see it in action. And I want you guys to know that when I tell you what I'm doing, that's what I do. I'm not screaming and yelling and getting all ticked off at her, because I understand. I understand those emotions. And I want her to know that I understand those emotions. And so for me, next time, I'll just ensure that she eats in the crate again, because I think that helps her slow down and not feel like she has to guard everything. Now, she's not guarding other stuff. I can very easily ask her to drop something. She did guard something the other day when Alicia was here, and she had something, and I went to look at, oh, it was a chew bone, and she just had a little attitude with it, and I just asked her to drop it, and she did, and looked at me, and it's almost like she looked at me like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I gave it right back to her, because I know that these are not behaviors that she's going to have the rest of her life. Now, if I punish her, then I'm going to create anxiety in a situation that there is not any anxiety or fear, but I'm going to create it because then she's going to start to associate when she has something like that and she's feeling that way, I'm going to come in and just be mad and be angry and correct her. So then we're going to start an association. Instead, I want her to associate that I'm going to be calm, that she can count on me, that she can trust me, and that we'll work through it together. And again, just setting her up for success. So I know it's hard. It's hard for people to understand that we've just got to stop treating these dogs as if they're grown adults knowing right and wrong, right? They're young toddlers who just don't understand this world. And just like when young kids are you know, having a meltdown at the grocery store, they're not having a meltdown to show their mom or dad that they're in charge, they're the boss, that they're the leader. No, they're having a meltdown because they don't know how to deal with what they got going on. They don't understand that they're having a meltdown because they're tired, because their fuse is short. They don't understand that. So I'm asking you guys that if you are going through adolescence with your dog, please be patient. Up your reward system. Set your dog up for success. Lower your expectations. Not saying let your dog get away with everything. I'm just saying lower your expectations. Do not jump to using punishment and corrections. Your dog is not an adult. Okay, there's a reason why if a child breaks the law, they go to juvenile court and then they get out at 18. If you're over the age of 18 and you break the law, then you're subject to the same consequences as an adult. For our dogs, we need to understand that as she becomes an adult, are there consequences to not listening? Yeah, sure. But they're still not going to be physically or emotionally damaging. I'm not going to threaten a shock collar. I'm not going to threaten the beep on a shock collar. I'm not going to use intimidation or the fear of incoming pain to get a response from my dog. No, I'm building all this foundation up. For these 2 years, I'm building this foundation up and I'm building this relationship and this trust and this amazing connection that she and I are developing so that as an adult, she and I can be the best buddies that we can be and enjoy this whole world together. So please, and whoever you know that has a dog going through adolescence, they need to be patient. They need to understand what their dog is going through. They need to be supportive, not judgmental, not angry, supportive. And that support can look different per dog, but just stick to the main rules of being supportive in limiting options, lowering expectations, setting them up for success, and just having conversation with them and finding outlets where they can get out some of this frustration. Because sometimes this emotion, I think, creates frustration within them because they don't understand it. Even having like a dig pit, letting your dog dig or destroy paper. Those are just little things that we can do to help kind of get that frustration out. I hope this has helped you today. It really helps me because I was like most people back in the day when my dog was, you know, 11, 12 months, 13 months. I expected perfection. Hell, I expected perfection almost at 7 or 8 months. But that was when I didn't understand how brains develop and truly understand the dog. I was only focused on external behavior. But now it's about the welfare of the dog and ensuring that their needs are met in a way that they need them met. And that it's moving our relationship either in a positive path or staying neutral. I never want to do anything that's going to put my relationship with my dog on the negative path. And if I do have to do something that was on the negative path, I want to make sure I put enough that we've traveled the positive road enough that it's just maybe a quick run into the ditch and then back up on the positive path, right? I have enough deposited into my account that if I do screw up and I get angry and I yell at her, she's not going to hold that like, oh, I just ruined everything. Because, hey, we're human. Sometimes we get frustrated. But we do not want to focus on using physical or emotional pain, intimidation, or fear to teach our dog's behavior. If you want more information on adolescence, there are some good online courses. I know Dr. Kathy Murphy had a really good one on adolescence. Talks about how the brain works. We also have another episode that Dr. Kathy Murphy was on talking about adolescence, and that was a couple of years ago. You can find it. It's still up and loaded, but listen to it because she will tell you how that brain actually functions and what the issues are. And she's just enjoyable to listen to with her accent. So highly recommend you go back and listen to that. But be nice to your dog. Be kind. Be supportive. Right? Don't be a bully. Don't be screaming and yelling. Don't expect your dog to be perfect if they're still in adolescence. Guide them so that they can be the best adult and that you guys can have a great relationship as adult dog and adult human. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you spread the word, share the podcast, rate and review, please, because it does help us find new listeners. And sign up for the newsletter so you're not missing out on anything. Check out our YouTube page. We're adding videos on a more regular basis. And we do have some new things coming up. I'm not sure if I mentioned it in the beginning of the episode because I had to re-record the beginning of the episode a couple of times. I am working on a new on-demand course on introduction to nose work. So make sure you're keeping an eye out for that because it's going to be a really good one too. All right, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week.